Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Fry, Ryan Wiggins, Brad Ring.
That's us, that's right. Gotta love this American ride.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
For the sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Man, I'm out of breath. You're never supposed to run to a microphone, but I just did that.
You did not run. You walked very briskly.
I did. It's more than, generally speaking, I just sit for 3 hours.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, I usually stand for the first hour, but Fridays are different. I have to like stand to do interviews on the show because I'm engaged and I'm like in it and I'm focused. And then when I talk to you, I sit down and stop focusing.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Don't want you paying attention to what I say all the time.
Those phone calls were good.
Yeah, that was a good hour.
Do you feel like, can the Republicans, you know, like when your two kids are fighting? I don't know if your kids fight, my kids fight. But you kind of have a higher expectation for the older kids than you do the younger kids.
Yep.
And maybe the younger kids being super bratty and annoying, you still have an ask of the older kid to help, like help your little sibling get back to good.
Yeah, diffuse the situation. You're better at it.
Yes, and you're not causing this problem, but you can kind of keep it from being resolved. And maybe you'd be right in principle, but not in action. I feel like this moment is kind of like that, where the Republicans do need to do something to participate in being a solution, which is maybe to look for opportunities to welcome a notable change. Here's a question. When the Charlie Kirk assassination is the punctuation on any questions that people have had about political violence, I keep hearing people talk about right-wing violence. What are you talking about? Like, let's just for a second imagine the pile of left-wing violence and right-wing violence that exists. Imagine when we talk about that specifically on this show in the last hour, that the thing that comes up is January 6th. That was 5 years ago. And I think there are some details about that that are debatable. I don't think the facts are out there on either side, so I don't feel like I can prove a point with January 6th, but I definitely don't feel like other people who perpetually try to prove a point to me about January 6th, like, I'm not buying the premise. So, and I also know that I'm not going to change those people's minds about January 6th. I'm kind of willing to concede the point to the extent that I'm not willing to argue with it, because I still think there's a ton that we are definitely going to find out about January 6th. Is there another instance that we're... January 6th aside, I mean, I'll basically call that a wash because I think the left thinks one thing, the right thinks one thing, and I'm sitting here in the middle going, I don't know things about January 6th, and I need to know those things before I'm willing to throw my full advocacy behind a point on the issue. So let the Democrats put the J6, if you will, point in their column, and Republicans who want to fight over it can put the point in their column. I'm just going to walk away from that. What are the other examples where the political right has come out and been actively violent against the left?
I'm trying to think of notable cases. And the only one that I can think of here's how you sort of classify it in my mind, is you figure out, well, who's the victim of this crime? If it's an assassination, that's easy. You know who the victim is because they were assassinated. If it's a riot, you don't always know exactly because they might just be burning down random buildings. So if you do an assassination, you say, okay, why? Who's the victim? What did they stand for? Because if you know that, then you know what they were trying to stop. Of the last several months, I can't think of really any that would be like left-wing, hard left, like they stand for this. There was the Democrat politician or politicians in Michigan. But that was a weird story because they were standing against their own party at the time. And so you never really got the motivation because they were not even like, it was like, why them? What is it about them? I think back to Dylan Roof, the mass murderer who shot up the church. But then you're like, well, he shot up a church.
That was a racial thing.
But it was a black mm-hmm. church predominantly. So that's...
That was in Charleston, I think.
And it was a while ago. That wasn't recent.
That was when Nikki Haley was the governor, because I remember reading in her book about having to manage that situation.
I'm looking it up. I think it says 2017, maybe? So that was a while ago. That's really the only one I can think of. And that one's weird because it's a church. You're like, well...
Is that anti-religious?
Yeah. Is
anti-black?
I don't know. I mean, they say he was a neo-Nazi. So you could say that he had that motivation, that it would have been racial. But I'm racking my brain. That's the best I can do.
I don't want to entertain it. But could we, if we did the flip side, would we be able to rattle off some?
Yeah, we could. Because there's been so many recently.
So my question then is, I'm really big on pointing out to people that, especially the people who might dip into our show, but they're not super into politics, like they can't name all the names or whatever. There's kind of an overlying sentiment that, like, if you're in Congress, you're corrupt. You're an egotistical, self-centered, corrupt individual. I think a lot of people just think that politics is so dirty and so gross that, like, once you've gotten to there, you're just like a certain type of person. We all in this room know Congress people personally and know them to be good people. I also know of people in Congress that I've heard stories of that I would maybe not have such accolades to say. But how many people, I talk about this all the time, how many people in Congress, 538 people in Congress, how many can you name? Off the top of your head, how many would you guess, Ryan, as somebody who's super plugged into this, 538 people, how many do you think you could name?
If I'm like doing an over-under, I'd say 50 if I really tried. And I think by the time I got to 30, I'd be struggling. Mm-hmm. But I could maybe get there.
That's a lot of people that you don't know that you're washing or painting with a big broad brush, right? If you're making a judgment about all of those people, the people you know are the ones who are always on Fox News or always on MSNBC or always on CNN or who are super active in their social media. So it's, you know, even if you were to say that you could name 10% of the people, which is 50.
Yeah.
And that's you being somebody who's super plugged in. I wouldn't be surprised if I think that people would feel pretty good if they could name 10 people in Congress.
I would say that's above average.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that going back to something we've talked about, especially since Charlie Kirk was murdered, I really want to be specific and I know that there have been times where I have gone against exactly what I'm about to say. So I will be the first to say I need to work on this myself. But when we talk politically and we talk about they're going to do it anyway. They're the ones who always this, they always that. We have to be more specific about who they is, because they is probably realistically the amount of people who are exposed to the political environment. When we lob accusations about the big they, the all capital THEA they, most people are probably talking about 10 people who they know, who are obsessed with being in front of a camera, be it their own or a news outlet, or, you know, being, on the radio or whatever. And, you know, like, I think about the people who, how many Congress people who have we had on in the last 2 or 3 weeks? Probably 10.
All the ones in our area.
And we specifically on this show reach out to people who are kind of connected to you mm-hmm. as a listener. Could we reach out and try to talk to some of the bigger names in Congress who often, you know, find themselves in a position to be in interviews, who are kind of high profile in the media circuit? We could do that. And I wouldn't tell any of those people no. But I think it's important that you as a listener hear from people who are representing you as a constituent.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So that you can develop a further understanding and relationship there, including Wesley Bell, who has been on the show one time. Let's have him back on and talk mm-hmm. about the shutdown, if it's still going on when I'm back next week. I don't think we're going to agree on it, but he's welcome here. When I use the word they, like I want them, the Democrats, to tone things down. I want them to be more vocal about saying that the shooter, that Charlie Kirk shooter doesn't have anything to do with them. I want them to say, you know, he might have had some of the same policies that are attached to what we know about him now that my party does. But I'm going to rebuke him and his actions right now. Like, why wouldn't you want to get ahead of saying, I want nothing to do with that? And in the same regard, you've got this situation with Jay Jones, who's running in Virginia for the attorney general. Do we have, I'm looking real quick here. Do we have the Winsome Sears clip from the debate? She and the governor, Spellberger, is that her name?
Spamberger? Span, I think with an N.
Nah.
Spanberger.
Did she, like we know this detail, did she marry into that name?
Yeah.
She must love him. They're asked at this debate that they had last night, do you stand by your endorsement of Jay Jones, who said these heinous things? And Winsome Earl Sears was the first one to bring it up. Like, the first question was asked of Winsome, and she's like, brief answer to the question, but I'd like to ask my opponent this question. And she went straight into it. Probably a smart political move, because Winsome is the underdog in the race. And it was painful to watch that clip, because the Democratic candidate who had endorsed Jay Jones, who had said that he would like to put two bullets in the head of his opponent, including killing the opponent's children, she could not bring herself to say that she didn't support him. She said that the voters need to make that decision. And she was asked probably 3 or 4 times, maybe 6 or 7 times, about whether or not she was going to maintain her endorsement, and she couldn't say no. Why are we in a culture right now where that's a difficult question?
Because our worldviews are so different now between the parties that we view anything that our side does or the other side does. Because you could say it's really, we're talking about Democrats here. So if you're a Democrat, you could say, well, I disagree with what he said. But overall, I'll agree with the way he acts as attorney general more than the Republicans still. That's how far apart we are.
Yeah. And she didn't even really take that out. I was like thinking to myself, if the roles were reversed, how would I want my governor candidate that I really wanted to win because I don't want J.B. Pritzker to win again.
Right.
How would I want them to act? And, you know, I think that the Democrat candidate, that woman is thinking that she'd much rather be the governor with a Democrat attorney general than a Republican attorney general. And I'm thinking, you better just worry about being the governor.
Circle of wagons. That's what they're doing.
And if you want to make sure, you know, do you want to risk losing the governorship and the attorney general position over these stupid comments? It's super simple to sit here behind on a Friday afternoon to sit behind a microphone and be like, this is what I would do in that situation when there's so much money and so much power wrapped up into this particular thing for these individual candidates. But one thing I've always appreciated about Trump is I've never, ever felt like he was programmed. Whatever Donald Trump did or said, I felt like that was Donald Trump. And if we elected Donald Trump, we'd get Donald Trump. I knew what we were getting ourselves into. Not even honestly in the first election, which I definitely voted for him against Hillary Clinton, but I had to do it reluctantly. But every other time that I've been able to cast a vote for him, I knew exactly what we were getting. And I knew that while it incites the people who just hate him for the sake of hating him, it would be better for the country for a whole bunch of different reasons. And I never felt like the things that he did or said were consequentially. I mean, I've talked to people recently who I dearly love on the left, and they are afraid that they are going to be approached in the night by the National Guard on their street. And these are not people of non-white culture. There are people who are terrified that they're going to be confronted by Donald Trump's troops and that we will never have an election again in this country. And I look at these people and I'm like, why do you think that? Like, what did I miss? Who I, you know, I'm consuming media every day. Where are you getting that from? And then I look on MSNBC's website and that confirms the entire worldview. And I'm always being kind of skeptical, you know, like I'm trying to be critically thinking about, I look on Fox News and of course they have conservative leaning headlines, of course, and they cover story selection can be influential as much as how you choose to cover the story. It's whether you even choose to cover it at all. But we are so far apart that there are people in the street or right now, or there are people in our communities listening right now who actually don't know if we're going to have an election again.
You asked the question earlier, what can Republicans do to turn the temperature down? And you could say, well, what can Trump do? He could turn down the rhetoric. Now, I don't even know if that's, A, he got elected doing what he's done. Everybody knew who he was. And I don't think if he turned down, quote unquote, turned down the rhetoric, it would matter at all. Mm-hmm. Because Democrats flame out at no matter what he does or says. It doesn't matter. So let's say he went, you know, Trump 2.0 and he's very different this term. I think he already has been a little cooler headed this term. But even if he went even a step down, I just don't think it would matter. So then the question becomes, well, what can Republicans generally do to turn down the temperature? And I've been thinking about that since you asked that in the first hour. And I can't figure out how to do it without having a better message control, because the media really is what does it. Republicans could try all day to extend olive branch, say nicer things, whatever, condemn violence. They've done a lot of this stuff, and they've done it for a long time, and they just didn't control the message. The media landscape is shifting, but it's not there yet. The mainstream media is still the mainstream media. It has all the legacy names attached to it. So if the narrative's going to shift, it has to be the mainstream media that shifts it. I don't really think there's anything Republicans can do.
The one thing that I'm trying to do, and I don't know if it's going to do any good, but I'm trying to make an effort, is for the people in my life who I know are not loving this moment, and in fact, wrapped up in anxiety over it, I'm trying to let them speak to me so that they can convey their feelings, and I'm not trying to change their mind. All I want them to know is that I'm listening to them, that I hear them, and that I see them. And I know that they exist. And I want those people to understand that, like, I don't want you to bear the burden of this anxiety. I'm not bearing the burden of the anxiety you have because I don't see it that way. But I see that you are anxiety ridden about this. And I don't want that for you. And that's it. There's no policy. I'm not changing your mind on policy because I can't change your mind on policy. But for those people in my life, like if they bring it up, I am not fighting them. I'm pretty much just listening and trying to listen in a peaceful way. I don't know if it's going to do any good.
Well, that is the answer to that question. And it may not be to do it the same way that you're doing it, but it's to do it individually. I don't think there's any sort of mass message that Mike Johnson can get up on Fox News and say that it'd be like, oh, there it is. There's the key to turn the temperature down the nation.
I think the most destructive thing we can do is to open up those conversations and fight with those people in your lives to try to change their mind. If they think that we are not going to have another election and that they're going to come get taken in the night, you're not going to change their
mind. It's not really a discussion that's going to happen.
You just got to be present and let them know that you care about them as people. I think that might blow their mind. Be or not to be next?
Sure.
All right. Stick around. Wiggins America, the B or not the B, coming up next.
Well, I want to remind you about Brew in the Loo. It is the best time that you are going to have this weekend. And I love this event. It is such a really, really awesome thing to do. Very fall festival-y. And the weather, I think, is going to be perfect for it. It's Saturday at Francis Park from 1 to 5 p.m. Over 80 tasting and vendor stations will line the banks of the Lily Pond, featuring local, regional, and national craft breweries, distilleries, and wineries. General admission is $55 advance. So if you go to brewintheloo.com, let me make sure that's the right website, brewintheloo.com, you can get your tickets in advance for $55. Also, if you want to go tomorrow and you didn't get your tickets in advance, they're $10 more on the day of event. So hurry up. Advance sales close ahead of time. So reach out to them at brewintheloo.com and get your tickets. Admission includes unlimited beer and food tastings while supplies last and a keepsake commemorative glass. This is a really, really fun event. They have VIP tickets, but I don't know if they're still available. Saturday from 1 to 5 p.m., Francis Park around the Lily Pond. Get your tickets. If you can't go, but you want to support the Lutheran Elementary School Association, which you know I'm affiliated with, I send my kids to Lutheran schools and everything. Please consider making a donation at lisastl.org.
Unlimited brews.
Wiggins
in the Loo.
Wiggins. The B or not the B.
I stop at one because I am friends with everybody after one.
And he's friends with nobody after two.
All right. This is the B
Once
or
it
not
hits
the B.
Your lips.
These are headlines that are either real or fake. Let me know which is which. First one, suspiciously circular stones create chaos at World Stone Skipping Championships.
Real?
Yeah, I think this is real.
This is real.
The news cycle is too fast-paced
for that to be a bee. Focusing on this.
Yeah.
What? Yes, this is real. The World Stone Skimming Competition rules are clear. Contestants must use unaltered stones selected from among the island's naturally occurring state. Judges then use a measuring device dubbed the Ring of Truth to make sure that each rock is no larger than 3 inches wide. Unlike the unaltered skimming stones, the stone selections in question appeared to have been ground into more circular shapes in the hopes of improving their bounce potential. That is huge news in the world of stone skipping, or stone skimming, as it's called in this competition.
What if we have the market cornered on people who care about that story?
No, we don't. They are few and far between, and they are all over.
Well, maybe that's how we'll broaden our audience on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Maybe I'll put that in the title today, stone skipping. See our algorithm just go wild.
I just don't think that's going to happen.
Skimming.
Stone skimming. You call it stone skipping, right?
Skipping,
We all do.
Yeah.
They call it skimming. All right. Authorities warn Katy Porter.
That's how you know if you're on the inside.
Apparently. Yeah, it's like you call yourself a trekker instead of a trekkie. You didn't even know that one, did you?
Comfortably, no, I did not.
Authorities warn Katy Porter has grown to 600 feet and is currently rampaging through San Francisco.
Like, Stay Puft Man.
You will vote for me.
Yeah. No, B.
B?
B?
B? No, this is real.
No! is not.
Porter, a front runner in California's gubernatorial race.
She's skipping stones in San Francisco, but they're boulders. Bouncing off the people who are Trumpers.
And her big blue ox reportedly began roaring and growing to an unusual size after a reporter asked her a question. You didn't ask her a question, did you? Oh no, she hates that, cried Mayor Daniel Lurie as the hulking monstrosity smashed a giant hole in the transatlantic tower. There's no stopping her now. Run, run for your lives. Last quote is, blah, responded Porter before swallowing a cable car.
Man, Katie Porter, you know what's the worst thing you can do to a mean girl?
No.
Have it be wildly publicly discussed how mean of a mean girl
Ooh,
people are.
Yeah.
Mean girls are mean because that's their power. They get things out of people because people don't want to be on the other end of that, and there's some sort of level of respect for that. Once the secret is out and people are openly talking about it, nobody can shut up about it.
You've lost your power, Katie.
Yeah, Regina George. Hey, I was going to call her Regina George, but that's a disservice to Regina George.
Seems it.
And the actress that plays her, whose name escapes me, but is my husband's favorite. Rachel McAdams.
Ah, you got it.
Got it.
Chicago mayor hoping his ice-free zones work better than his gun-free zones.
Say that again?
Chicago mayor, Brandon Johnson, hoping his ice-free zones work better than his gun-free zones.
The bee.
It's got to be a bee.
It is the bee, but there's a lot of truth in it.
Yeah.
Quote, maybe this method will work this time, Johnson was heard telling his staff. I mean, it felt like a good idea to set up those gun-free zones, but people just keep on shooting folks every day for no reason.
Folks, for the love of gosh.
It doesn't matter how many signs we put up, but maybe, just maybe, if we put up enough signage to let everyone know there are ice-free zones in our city, it'll totally work. Let's stay positive, people. Signs can work. Just not for guns, apparently.
F-O-A-K-S.
Next one.
Look at those beautiful oak trees.
Oak.
That was inappropriate. James K. Polk? I don't think so.
Well, that's different.
Struggling.
Turning Point USA.
I don't like that point. It's moderately good. We're going to pretend it didn't happen. Keep going.
Turning Point USA announces alternative Super Bowl halftime show.
Real.
Real.
Yeah, this is real. Turning Point is doing their own halftime show. The All-American Halftime Show will be an alternate to the regular halftime show that will be performed by three-time Grammy Award winner Bad Bunny on February 8th, 2026 at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California.
The Turning Point one is going to feature Joe Biden and the Easter Bunny.
We don't know who will be there yet.
I know.
They have not announced, although people are really pushing for Creed.
Kid Rock, yeah. Kid Rock and John Rich were doing an event at John Rich's bar in Nashville. So I wonder if this is an obvious melding of at least that sentiment. Because why would they want to compete with each other? That's what I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you produced, hello, Turning Point, this is what I would do. I would produce... Oh, this is a really good idea, and I'm having it right now, and it's yours to have, and I hope it happens. They're probably already doing this. Do it like New Year's Eve, where there are events happening all over the place, and Turning Point can produce a television show, which is all it is really anyway, so that Turning Point can be in all the area cities with big stages and big guests and festivals or whatever, where musicians can be playing in these places. There could be praise concerts. There could be the Kid Rock country concerts. We'll make fun of Zach Bryan at these concerts. And then you could make the halftime show is 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So it could last longer than that if you wanted it to, but you could have like the big event be during that 15 minutes of, but make it, because if you did it around the country, then you have participation.
Mm.
Which can turn into the local schools, like go to Ole Miss. That's where I'd start. Nashville.
And you could,
Arizona.
At those events, actually watch the Super Bowl and then be a part of the event.
You could. You got to pay a lot of money to do that. But
well, that's true. I forgot about that. All right, last one real quick. Trump agrees to designate Chicago mayor's house as an ice-free zone.
The B?
This is the B. With the mayor determined to create zones where illegal immigrants can escape ICE, Trump announced that illegal immigrants can indeed remain safe from deportation inside Mayor Johnson's house. quote, "You can stay in his house as long as you wish. There will be no, absolutely no ICE raids, I promise," announced Trump.
Stay right there.
See, I know how to reach across the aisle and compromise. Everyone says I can't, but I just did. The mayor can have an ICE-free zone just like he wants. The immigrants can stay, and the streets will be clean. It's a win-win-win.
Win-win-win for everybody. Oh, man. All right, thank you for the Bee or Not the Bee. We're going to do a little bit of Ask Us Anything here before we wrap up the 2 o'clock hour. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I posted this on my X page, at Annie Fry Show, and usually it's political content, but I posted this yesterday because we were driving home from school, and my youngest, my 4-year-old Molly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was just saying the Pledge of Allegiance over and over and over and over again in an 18-minute ride.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Help me, Jesus, every day to show my love.
What was the last thing?
And that's the ending.
Oh, okay.
So my daughter says, she says amen after the Pledge of Allegiance.
Love that.
She probably said it over 20 times on the way home. And I was like, I don't know how much I can handle this anymore. But it was really cute. So I videoed it to preserve it. But I wanted to share that with you because it's probably cute for you guys one time. Now go watch it on my Twitter account 76 times. And then tell me how you feel about it.
In the car.
Yes. We had a conversation, I think it was Friday of last week, maybe, was it, Ryan? Where you this is on the YouTube shorts that we have up, but you told the story of your son. You were going to visit your grandma, and you told the story of your son saying to you, with the complete and total sincerity from the mouths of babes, how is it that grandma makes you feel so important? And I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about that a little bit because that was last weekend. You're not going to be here on Monday and Tuesday of next week, but I'm really glad that the whole preface of us talking about that, you had said off the air, my grandma and my dad are listening to the show right now. And you said, I think it was going into Wiggins America, maybe?
Yeah, it was. It was last Friday, going into the Bee or Not the Bee.
And you said, I'm gonna say a few extra things here because my grandma and my dad are listening. And that story came out of it. And, I think it's a blessing that we were able to do that on last Friday.
I do too. The timing is amazing. I got a call in May that my grandma was not doing very well. And we were in North Carolina on vacation. I think you were in Hawaii. We just happened to be gone that same week. And I got that call and I was praying, oh God, please let us get home so we can see her again. Well, now it's October and we were still talking about grandma. So we definitely got to see grandma quite a bit. But I'm bringing it up now because she passed away Tuesday night. I got to see her Tuesday night. I would go there every Tuesday and Thursday while my son was at soccer practice. We all got to go there Sunday randomly and have communion with her, which was amazing. We didn't know that would be the last time we saw her, of course, because you never know, but. You know, she was in hospice and she was in her house. So we knew that there would be a time. And then I saw her Tuesday night and then got the call Wednesday morning. So
Monday and Tuesday, Ryan is going to be with his family as he should be. Tuesday, you said, was it Tuesday night Or Wednesday morning? Wednesday morning was when...
When I got the call.
Because it happened late Tuesday night. So when we found out on the show, of course, we were like, Ryan, whatever you need to do, if you need to take time off or whatever. And you said you wanted to come in.
Well, I wasn't sure that morning.
No, you played it by ear.
By the time we got to the show, I said, I'm just going to be sitting here. Mm-hmm. I'd rather come in and get my mind off of it. And I said, though, every time you do an interview, I'm going to step out, though.
Yeah. Well, and we knew what you were dealing with, of course, and you decided to come in, and I told you, like, just play it by ear and whatever works for you. I think it was in the 2 o'clock hour, you're like, I don't know, you were screwed around about something. And you were like, I'm so glad that you came in because you knew you'd be sitting at home and just stewing over it. You just left with your thoughts. So the last couple of days, we've known that here on the show, Monday and Tuesday of next week, you'll be gone with family, as is incredibly appropriate. But we wanted to make sure that people understood that that's what was going on. Our lives are obviously very public. Now, we kind of will let you into certain things, but there are always certain things that are going on with us because we're humans. And so we've got stuff to deal with. And sometimes it's hard to come in here and just like do what we're doing.
When you got personal stuff going on, although that day was actually a blessing. I would have just been sitting there. Although I'll say last night, man, and I'm not, obviously I haven't talked about this because I'm not like, oh, look, let's talk. I want, you know, pay attention to me or anything like that. But we talked about it on the show. I'm going to be gone Monday and Tuesday. I figured it was worth explaining why.
Yeah.
And I will say last night, man, I lost it. Because it was Thursday, so I saw her Tuesday. Sorry that I'm going into this. It's just really fresh. I saw her Tuesday, and I said, Grandma, I'll see you Thursday, just like usual, you know? And so last night was Thursday. And I pulled into that driveway just to do it, because that's what I do on Thursdays, just like go through the motions again. It was the first time I knew that I wouldn't see her. And man, I lost it. And my dad happened to call me right at that moment. And I was like, I wouldn't take a call from anybody right now, but I'm taking a call from him. And he was like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. You know, he was going to say, if you want to go over there and you want to go in, it's okay. I can give you the code and all that. And I said, I can't go in. I can't go in. But it was just the timing, man, it was whatever. I'm not saying like good radio things. I'm just telling you, it comes in waves, man. It comes in waves. And there are moments that I'm like, holy smokes, I'm not going to see her again for a while. It's the way I talk about it with my kids, too, because it's the first time they've really ever dealt with a death, especially if somebody close.
I asked you on Wednesday during the show if you had told your kids yet. I think it's important. I don't know if you've mentioned this yet, but your grandmother was 93.
She was 93.
Lived a full, wonderfully blessed life. I saw pictures on Facebook of the family that she was surrounded by. So, like, she's a loved and blessed woman, and you all have been loved and blessed because of her love for you guys. But, yeah, I made the comment when we were talking about it off the air on Wednesday. I was talking about the day my grandma died, who was 95. So it's very similar. Lived a full life, and then one day they're not with you any longer. But it's when you're going through something like that, my comments to you is it makes the world feel like it spins differently. Like the gravitational pull after something like that happens of the Earth's rotation feels different to you. And I just remember thinking like you'd go through life and you have this huge just weight of emotion. It's grief is what it is. On you, and everybody else is just going through life, living their normal life. They're annoyed by the same things they're always annoyed by. They're happy about the same little things that they're normally happy by. But when somebody is going through what you're going through, it doesn't show if you've spent 2 days on the air without talking about it. I think it's a good opportunity to reflect on, we never know what somebody else is going through. Life, the things that stop life in its tracks, like everything around you seems to stop moving and you're looking around going like, do you ever think like, can I pause? Can I go back? Can I just rewind once? Like I'll have those thoughts in my head. Like, can I just go back once? Isn't there a way that I can go back? And obviously you can't. Everything that we do and talk about on this show, This is the stuff that's important. No political thing that we're going to talk about is going to cause that lump in our throat when we're talking about it, because family is everything. And you've been incredibly active in your grandma's life. Like, you've talked about your grandma on the air, but you've also talked about your grandma a lot off the air. I hope that people understand the value of being in proximity of family, of staying connected across generations of family. Your kids got to know your grandma. Obviously, she was their great grandma, but there's just something special about a grandma, like you said, your son said to you. How does grandma make you feel so important?
The fact that he said that, and then you guys, we just happened to tell that story on the air. You don't know how much that meant to them. I mean, my grandma listened to that Friday, to us talking about her on the radio, and then Brad made a video out of it, and we showed her, and she saw it again, and now, shoot, that might actually be at the funeral, Brad, because my mom was asking for that video this morning. But it's just, I appreciate everybody's condolences. Thank you guys so much. You two in this room, thank you. And thank you all the people who were just commenting. Like, I really appreciate it, because it has been a terrific, last few months with her. And the fact that she went the way that she did, like, I'm just thankful for all of it. It's so hard, but we're all just bittersweet rejoicing, because we know grandma's in heaven. That's why I keep telling, I said this at the beginning of us, I didn't finish it. That's why I keep telling my kids, is that I'm sorry for you guys because you're young. It's going to be a long time before you see grandma again. Like, I'm older. I'll see grandma when I get there. You guys are going to have to wait till you get there too to see grandma again. But that it's all about this sort of eternal perspective. And I keep telling them that, like, this is about not just now, this is about heaven, this is about eternity, you guys. And they get it. And it's comforting to know. Like, when I say that I took communion with my grandma on Sunday, and my whole family just happened to be there when the minister came and said, "What you guys want to do?" Yeah, absolutely, let's all do communion. There is so much comfort in knowing that she is with the Savior. It's good. It's good. Like, this is such a terrible thing to say, that it's good. This is a good time.
Yeah. It's not terrible. And there is a huge distinction, as somebody who, you know, I've gone to my fair share of funerals or whatever, but when you go to one and you get the good news, it far outlasts the bad news. Like, you got to cling to it, and it's an active type of thing that you have to participate in to remind yourself, and of course to remind your children of the good news. The good news isn't this good until this terrible moment.
You're right. It's palpable now that you go,
you cling to it.
You go, I walked last night up to her house because I was getting a flower from her front yard. I didn't want to go in because I just didn't. And I was getting a flower from her front yard with one of those little hanging stick things because I wanted to put it in our yard for now. And she has a cross on the outside. And man, that's what did it. That's what did it. I just lost it. And it's in that moment, man, that you're like, it's all real. The faith becomes reality, you know, where you go, okay, I know why I believe what I believe.
In my experience, you know, you're witnessing to your children about this. And you said this is the first person they've lost.
Yeah.
This isn't, they're going to be thrust forward in their faith walk because of this. Like I said, that the pain and suffering that goes through losing somebody so close. And, you know, I'm saying this, and I'm bringing up my grandma being 95. This isn't about me, but I do know what it's like to lose someone and go, like, what more do you want from a life? 93 years, like your grandma, 95, my grandma, you know, they're in the arms of Jesus, and they're with the brothers and sisters in Christ that they have loved and have been in heaven and have missed for so long. They are there with them. So you gotta, like, wrap your kids up in that good news so that they can really let it soak in, something that I know your children have always known, but like now there's a tangibility to it that's fresh. And then what's going to happen is you're going to be 6 weeks removed from this, maybe 6 years removed from this, and your kids are going to bring up something about grandma, and they're going to witness back to you what you witnessed to them right now, and it crushes you and it makes you whole at the same time to hear that that seed that has been sown in your children that you have helped water over the course of time come back and just blossom right in front of your face. They're incredibly humbling moments. And I know that there are people listening right now who don't. You're like, okay, Annie and Ryan, that's sweet. I get it. But you don't feel like that's for you. And it is. Maybe it's not for you right now, but it is for you right now. You said it's good. How can something like this be good? It really doesn't make sense. One might say it passes understanding and the ability for you to like to cognitively process how watching your grandma deteriorate since May on, you said she was on hospice?
Well, she was in hospice, but she was in her house.
In her home care, yeah. In home hospice care. How can you watch somebody deteriorate and like be given up to time and the inevitable brokenness of what our world has for us? Like, how is it that at the end of that, that deterioration, that earthly deterioration, that you could feel that that was good? And the truth of the matter is, I don't have the words to explain it. It just is. And I really want that. I want that for other people. I know that you want that for other people. I'm probably the least evangelical person in this room. the least charismatic, maybe, is the better way to put it. I'm pretty practical in my LCMS Lutheran faith. You go to a really good Christian concert, you're like, gosh, I have the compulsion to clap my hands, but I can't do it. We do have rhythm. We just don't need people to know. I'm glad you wanted to talk about it. I asked Ryan that day, like, do you want to talk about it? He wasn't ready for it, but and thank you for talking about it. This is something that it doesn't matter what people believe or, you know, where they are in their life. They understand what you're going through right now, and they're with you.
Well, I just got a text from my dad that he's sitting in my grandma's driveway right now listening. So he said, replay. I can't believe it. All right, thank you. Thanks.
We love you, Wigginses. I have nothing snarky to say to you, Ryan.
Once in a lifetime, you don't.
I'm going to write down everything I think of over this weekend. Send you some pretty flowers on Monday and Tuesday. And then rip them up and welcome you back on Wednesday. Pray for the Wiggins family. Pray for peace. They definitely have it. But pray for a little extra. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.